This is Cincinnati Edition. I'm Jay Hanselman with Howard Wilkinson. The Veterans Administration is under fire over allegations administrators at some facilities falsified records to hide extended wait times for patients to receive treatment. The Cincinnati Inquirer published a story last week on the VA's settlement of more than 1,000 wrongful death claims since 2001. Included in that number were 10 cases settled by the VA Medical Center of Cincinnati. Investigative reporter James Pilcher joins us to talk about what he found while researching and writing that story. You can join the conversation. Our phone number is 513-419-7100 or email talk at wvxu.org. We're also on Facebook and Twitter. Coming up later, we'll talk more about Cincinnati losing its bid to host the Republican National Convention in 2016 and discuss the upcoming vote on the Cincinnati city budget. But first, we begin with the VA Medical Center controversy. James, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
And we're going to start out talking about the wrongful death claims, but there was some new information on these wait times in a report that came out yesterday, so we'll get to that. But first, let's talk about the wrongful deaths in your story that you wrote last week. Tell us what you found out.
This came out of a national story from the Center for Investigative Reporting out of California. Actually, as a side note, it was created by the guy, Lowell Bergman, from 60 Minutes fame and Mother Jones fame. He was portrayed by Al Pacino in the movie The Insider. Anyway, he co-created this center out there. And they've been very aggressive in pursuing some of these records. And they were able to get between they started in 2001, post 9/11. Through early 2012, through Freedom of Information Act, all of the wrongful death settlements, all the settlements that any VA hospital made for a wrongful death claim throughout the country. You know, that crossed our radar. We knew there was things going on at the VA. So we reached out to them, and they were willing to share their information with us, as well as some information they didn't publish that allowed us to go deeper into the story here locally. And we were able to pull out that there were 10 here in Cincinnati, and I don't have the numbers in front of me, but we were able to list all of the ones around the state of Ohio, Indiana, and Kentucky. And the total number, the total dollar number was about $1.57 million here in for the Cincinnati facility. There were not a lot of details on why, but there were a lot of them that were like failure to treat, failure to diagnose, missed a diagnosis, or mistreated someone. There was one case where a gentleman had a hip replacement, went to get his stitches taken out, and they missed that he had gotten an infection, and he later died of sepsis. The gentleman that I profiled in as the main, the only one we got a name for, died of a heart attack. We don't know why. We don't know how. But that was, you know, basically the theme of that. Whether or not there was a specific cause for all of these or they were all unrelated, that's still unknown. Unlike there was a outbreak of Legionnaires' disease, for example, in the Pittsburgh facility not too long ago that created a uproar there. So since then, I've obviously been contacted by VA by veterans who've been there and are frustrated with their care. I've actually learned some more about our the one man we did name. He served in Vietnam in the Marines, and we'll be following up with more information and a story about him later. So,
what? How did Cincinnati compare to some of the other regional VA hospitals in terms of settlements and wrongful deaths?
We had one of the higher dollar amounts.
Yeah.
But we didn't have the number, the total number of claims that were settled. The thing to remember about this story, about these numbers, is that they are not a representation of potential mistakes, people that died because of mistakes or quote unquote malpractice at a particular VA. These are only the ones the VA settled that we know about. So there might have been, who knows how many more people died because of faulty care or mistakes or whatever, but the family chose either not to go through or they were found, you know, that their claim wasn't upheld, or the family chose not to go through the bureaucratic process to file a claim. Cleveland had more, but they handled a lot more people.
Right. Two hospitals.
Right, and they have two hospitals.
I've found your numbers here. The two Cleveland VA hospitals there, it was $1.8 million for 11 claims.
Right. So,
and it looks like the low number was Columbus, were two claims for $100,000.
Right, and then if you look at Kentucky, Cincinnati had a lot more than, say, Louisville or Lexington, but then again, the volume's greater. They treat, I think the number is about 42,000 veterans a year here. And they have 277 beds. You know, compare that to Cleveland, where they have two full facilities, although they're in the process of merging them. So it's hard. The other thing that I found that was hard, and I did get some feedback on, is how does this compare to, say, UC?
I was going to ask that question.
Right. And that's, unless I was to spend hours and hours going through all of the law, all of the court records to find every single settlement, and a lot of them are not disclosed, there's no way to compare because they're so different systems. There's no way to say, okay, UC had this many, you know, malpractice suits that were either settled or they were found faulty. You know, that would be, you know, take months of work to dig through all the court records to find a similar kind of number. I can say that that these numbers have raised a lot of concern on Capitol Hill. You know, I talked to Brad Winstrup. I talked to Sherrod Brown. Sherrod Brown, obviously the Democratic senator from Ohio, he's on the Senate Veterans Affairs Committee, and Brad Winstrup is a veteran and a doctor, and he's Republican in the House. He knows in the House Veterans Affairs Committees, and it does raise a lot of concern, but putting it in context is a little difficult sometimes.
Had the Center for Investigative Reporting started this process before the headlines that are hitting now about
yes.
the wait time, so
yeah.
this was underway. It's just a coincidence that they're happening together.
Yeah. They had actually filed their original national story, was published in April 3rd. So we saw that, and we contacted them, and over the course of the next few weeks, we got our information locally. And through those forms that they gave me, we posted them on our story. You can actually download some of the actual file forms. That we were able to find the actual details on some of these, what actually happened.
The families, the survivors, file these claims. How do they do that?
There's a separate process
yeah.
for veterans hospitals. It's under the Federal Tort Reform
right.
Act.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just sue the federal government, basically. You have to go through this bureaucratic claim process. And then if you exhaust that, then you can file a lawsuit if you're not satisfied. But there's very specific parameters. One out of the 10 cases in Cincinnati during that time, and there's been another since then, I think, were settled in actual court. But the rest were settled through this claims process. And it scares a lot of people off. The form is actually fairly simple. I have a copy of it here, and it's a copy on our website. You can see what it looks like. And some of the survivors just handwrite a note. But some of them get lawyers, and there's accompanying letters and documentation and things like that. It all depends.
And this process where you file this this paperwork, and it seemed like the ones that you had access to, the initial claim was rather high. The
yes.
settlement payout seemed pretty low.
Yes, yes. And actually, we had one of the higher averages in our region. The average payment was $174,000. The median was about $200,000. But you're right in that a lot of these people are asking for $1 million or $2 million apiece, and they might get $75,000, they might get whatever. And I think that's based on like actuarial data, how much longer they feel like they had to live, how much were they earning, things like that. So, you know, there's not a lot of rhyme to reason for how they come to those numbers.
Is it the argument of the VA that that this happens. I mean, you know, people die in hospitals often, and obviously they want to give the best care possible. What is their answer to the questions raised by these claims?
You know, again, they try to say, you know, put it in perspective. We deal with all these people. Like you said, people die. Sometimes there are mistakes that, you know, they don't actually say that. They didn't say that for the record, but if you talk to people that work at the hospital, yeah, sometimes, I mean, any hospital, you get people that are overworked and things, you know, might, you know, miss a diagnosis or whatever. The issue here, I think, is that there were so many nationally and that, you know, we're talking $200 million total nationally. And that's a pretty good size of money that we're paying out because doctors are making mistakes. And that's only the ones we know about. you know, is this a, is it, it, it just opens up more questions as to say, okay, what else is wrong if this is what's going on? Again, is it fair to compare it to the private healthcare system? Who knows? Sherrod Brown actually makes an interesting point in that, you know, he thinks it's a sign that, you know, publicly funded healthcare can work because you do have this accountability. You do have this visibility into these numbers. You can actually see them, whereas you can't see it into the private healthcare system. So, but then the flip side of that argument is, but look at all the bureaucracy.
Yeah.
Look at what's going on with the wait time scandal, and the wait time number fixing, if you will. And those, you know, they got to meet these certain standards. They're going to do anything they can to meet them. So.
We're talking with Cincinnati Enquirer investigative reporter James Pilcher about a story from last week on the Veterans Administration settling more than 1,000 wrongful death claims since 2001, and 10 of those were cases involving the VA Medical Center in Cincinnati. If you have a question, 513-419-7100. We talk about there being 10 settled. Has there been any indication of others that are in the pipeline?
Yeah, actually, I got called from two survivors or veterans who have said that they're in the process of filing or they're going to file. You know, one reported to me that he had his brother go there three times with bad cough and headache, and it turned out he had lung cancer, but they didn't really do a CAT scan until he had done some other work. So it delayed the actual diagnosis by, what he said, 6 months to a year. So whether or not that's true or not, I do have to put that disclaimer. I haven't done the actual reporting to say. The thing that you get hamstrung to with reporting about healthcare issues is obviously the hospitals aren't going to talk to you about specific cases, even if the person's deceased. So, but I have gotten an indication that while this isn't the tip of the iceberg, that there were more than just reported.
I've never had any experience with the VA system, but I know, like with my personal health care, there's some things, it's a managed care system that, you know, if I want to have something done, it has to be pre-authorized by my insurance company. Is that the same thing with VA?
Yes and no. What you'll also find with the VA is that they have certain areas or certain facilities specialize in certain things, and they may not have a doctor to do a certain other thing, so you have to drive to another VA hospital. So I know of a gentleman I was talking to in Indiana who has to drive all the way to here to Cincinnati to get a specific kind of treatment for himself. So that obviously becomes an issue. And yes, that they're going to say, you know, we don't think, you know, based on our diagnosis that we're going to follow this course of treatment. So, you know, the VA offers potentially, you know, inexpensive healthcare for veterans. You know, as basically a reward for their service, and obviously everybody wants to take care of our veterans, but it is such a massive system. The other thing that they're going to have to deal with is that the number of veterans in this country is shrinking dramatically, and it's going to continue to shrink because the size of our military has shrunk so much over the last 20 years. What's going to happen there? Are they going to keep this huge system in place for a smaller number of veterans? Are there some calls on Capitol Hill and other places to kind of go to a hybrid system where they outsource some stuff to private health care?
We mentioned that there was a report came out yesterday on the issue that's getting a lot of headlines now, and that's on the wait times. And you've spoken with some people about that and what it means for Cincinnati. So what right. does the report show for Cincinnati?
Well, obviously, when I was working on the story about wrongful deaths, the wait time issue was already in the news. It all really emanated out of Phoenix. The Phoenix Center was the hotspot for this, and they were found, and the Inspector General for the VA yesterday confirmed that they were found to have falsified their wait time data, and they actually had a secret list of real wait time data, and that's because recently appointed, it was a couple years ago, when Administrator Shinseki said, I want everybody to be seen within 14 days. Well, everybody immediately said, well, we got to meet that standard. So some people have been fudging the numbers a little bit. Here locally, they would not give me an average wait time. They said they haven't calculated that. But they did say that 38% of the people showing up for primary care are getting seen within 14 days. The national standard is 47%. Whether or not those are real I don't know. I have had no indication as to whether or not Cincinnati's included in this national organ, national investigation that now includes a number 42 different facilities that they're looking at.
Mm-hmm. And those people, you know, the people that I talk to that are veterans who use the VA system say once they get in, they generally get good health care, but it's the waiting period that is the problem, and
right,
and the red tape,
right, and I've heard that too. I talked to the guy, some veterans through the Easter Seals Foundation. I've talked to the local director of the Vietnam Veterans Association, mm-hmm, and they all say they get great care, but you, like you said, some people have had to wait 3 weeks to a month to get their first doctor's visit, and sometimes, you know, and then they'll say, you know, if my father-in-law, for example, was a Marine Corps sergeant in the Vietnam, and he has to drive all the way to Coryville from Burlington, Kentucky, to get health care, and that becomes an issue if you have an urgent issue. So,
let's work a caller in here. Sue, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Well, hi. My husband has been having VA health care for 5 or 6 years now, and it's been my observation that their clinics are just an enviable model of efficiency, the satellite clinics. The hospitals, maybe not so much, just if there's no the VA hospitals have much sicker people than generally the public sector hospitals do.
James, yeah, you want to respond?
Yeah, and I think that's true, because the VA hospitals are dealing with a lot older clientele a lot of times. I heard through sources that our local, another issue is our local hospital is staffed a lot with nurse practitioners versus full-blown MDs, which you know, nurse practitioners are very capable people, but that can also create an issue for some people. And that's the other thing. When you talk about the VA, everybody thinks about this one hospital. Well, the VA has several different offices all over the city and around the area. They have a nursing home in Fort Thomas. Mm-hmm. And that gentleman that I was talking about that died from after getting his hip replaced, he was actually convalescing in Fort Thomas when this all happened and he died. So, I mean, it's kind of like, I view it as like public schools, that you're only as good as that school's principal. So you're only as good as that particular center's director. Our local overall director in Cincinnati has been here since like 2002. And, you know, from all intents and purposes, she's done an okay job from all of the reports I've gotten. So
as we begin to wrap up here with about a minute left, I would assume the next thing you're going to try to do is, now that you know about this wait time issue and these wrongful death settlements, are you going to be able to tie those together to see if any of those wrongful death settlements were because people had to wait to get the care?
There was no indication in terms of the reasons that I got initially for the forms that I was able to find, and for the overall 10 to indicate they waited too long. It was more like they missed stuff. But there were some in there that were like very vague in terms of why it was settled. So yeah, that's obviously a next step. And obviously the next step too is to see whether or not Cincinnati is being looked at for falsifying these numbers. No indication that there are yet, but it's something to keep an eye on.
And if anyone wants to share a story with you, how would they do that?
My email is jpilcher, J-P-I-L-C-H-E-R, at inquirer.com. And if you want to read the original story, we created a special URL. It's bit.ly/CincyVA.
Cincinnati Inquirer investigative reporter James Pilcher talking about a story last week on the Veterans Administration settling more than 1,000 wrongful death claims since 2001, and that included 10 cases involving the VA Medical Center here in Cincinnati. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Coming up after a short break, we'll be discussing Cincinnati's unsuccessful effort to land the 2016 Republican National Convention. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU.